to go? Okay. In the day and night, I will praise you. In times of plenty and in times of famine, I will praise you. If I get punched, I will praise you. When I die, my last words will be praise for you. You created all, and all praise belongs to you, Lord, and I gladly give it now and forever. I bless your name. Keep waiting for Sharon to start playing. You came down from heaven to save us by suffering, by being crucified, and by being reviled by those you came to save. Show us how to love like you loved. Show us how to use your peace to build a world dedicated to you. Show us how to live with gratitude to you and the Father, and to live as you want us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, my soul is not at rest. My concentration is on worldly things, politics, work, family arguments, driving. Please help me to realize that everything I do is temporary, with the exception of the impact I make by spreading your word. Help me to live that thought. Help me to learn and speak of you. Help me to live for you and you alone, for you are the most worthy, the King of the universe who created everything. In Christ's name we pray. Please read with me, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life, and I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, my soul. He is all. He is everything. He saves. He made the heavens and the earth. He is the arbiter of good and evil. He knows all. He sees all. And he lifts us up when we struggle. The Lord is good. He draws us to him with the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or praise Yahweh. Praise the Lord. A final cluster of five hymns, all bracketed by shouts of Hallelujah, which is praise Yahweh. Here at the end of the Psalter, there are themes of praise and calls to praise of Zion's heavenly King, the Maker, Sustainer, and Lord over all creation. The one sure hope of those who in their need and vulnerability look to him for help. The Lord of history, whose commitment to his people is their security and the guarantee that as his kingdom people, they will ultimately triumph over all the forces of this world arrayed against them.
As we go into prayer time, if you were listening to the news, there was a shooting in a church where people were killed out in the Midwest. I forget where it was. Three people, I believe, were killed. And it was on a Friday night. Something was going on at the church, and a gunman came in and shot people. So, you know, we live in a day and age. It used to be the sanctity of a place of worship was special. And it seems like we're losing that even as a society and a culture. So we need to pray for those families, you know, who sustained this needless killing. And also for the family of Millie Clemenson. I don't know if you've ever met her family. Her family is tremendous. I mean, she has three boys, right? And two of them I know really well. One I don't know all that well. But they have taken great care of their mom and dad through the years. It's something that sometimes you don't see either, and it was good. Also, I just want to acknowledge this week, on the 8th, Butch is going to be 22 years old. Again. And the gray hair you see is just prematurely gray, so don't even. And then Javier is going to have a birthday on the 12th, right? How old? 13. 13. Wow. So happy birthday to both of you. We got other birthdays coming up. They're in the bulletin. And anniversaries. You know, my brother's got one coming up on the 17th, but I won't tell you how old he is. He knows how to shoot a gun, so I'm not going to tell. Oh, yeah? Yeah, Mary Lou's mom was, too. Yeah, she was born on leap day. So we measure those people in dog years, right? Okay. Let's go to prayer. We need to pray for the American church. And the Olympics are on, as you well know. I only saw the curling event because curling fascinates me for some reason. But it's a volatile situation over there, and we need to pray for the protection of the athletes over there. So let's pray. Father, we are saddened and yet glad to hear about the passing of Millie. We're saddened because she'll be missed. She has such a great ministry. She used to send letters and cards to people. She used to reach out to people, Father. And now she's enjoying paradise. Father, would you be with the family during this time? Would you encourage them? Would you just remind them of the special times? This was a woman who loved her Jesus so much, and now she is with him for eternity. And Father, we think of that shooting in the church. I forget where it is, Father, but you know. Don't know the reason, the rhyme, or anything, but Father, you know. We ask comfort for the families involved, and Father, that you would bring healing through this terrible tragedy. And Father, I pray for the American church. My heart grieves when I see churches still are not well attended. Father, help us to realize that there is no more powerful thing on this earth than prayer and worship and the word. So Father, I pray you bring people back to church. I also pray, Father, for those officers in New York who were killed, their families. Father, it seems to be violence is becoming more normal than ever. So Father, I pray your protection on law enforcement, on medical workers, on firefighters. I pray your protection on anybody who deals with the public, Father. Whether it's in a store, in a church, or a service, or whatever, Father. And we pray for our military people, that you protect them. Father, you know what's happening over in the Ukraine. You know what's happening in the Far East and the Middle East. But Father, we pray for our troops. We pray for our people who are impacted by this. Pray that you watch over them and protect them. And Father, thank you that we can celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. I pray an extra blessing for Butch and for Javier this week as they celebrate their birth. Father, we pray all this in the name of our precious Savior. Amen. I need two people for the offering, if you don't mind, whoever wants to do it. While we take the offering, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Let me get this verse up. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul really takes on the false teachers who have infiltrated the church, who are known as Gnostics. Gnostic comes from the Greek word gnosko, which means knowledge. And these people claim to have secret knowledge that they can convey to you to have a deeper encounter with God. The problem was, it was all false. We have all we need to have a deep relationship with God through Christ. You have the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And so they were confusing people. You know, some people were scratching their heads. Others were saying, you know, was Paul wrong? Was it, you know, this and that? And they needed encouragement. And the encouragement Paul gave them, if you remember, he was saying, listen, it's very simple. It's not simple to do, but it's very simple theologically. For those of you who are in Christ, you need to put off the bad stuff, with the help of the Holy Spirit. lying, cheating, the language, and, you know, all that comes along with that. He says, take them off like dirty clothes. And then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, put on the clothes of righteousness that Jesus gave to you by his grace. And he says, as he gives you the clothes of righteousness, you need to walk by faith in his grace. That's why you need to be what? Loving, compassionate, right? He lists them. He says, therefore, in verse 12, as God's chosen people, he chose us, remember that, right? Holy and dearly loved, you are holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We can use a dose of patience, can't we? And then he goes on to say, excuse me, I think he saves the hardest for the last, right? He says, bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Oh, now you're asking a lot. I will be honest about it. Sometimes forgiveness, if the wound is very deep, is we can't do it, right? It's only when God works through his word and the Holy Spirit that we're able to do it. And that may take some time. That may take some time. If you've been wounded very deeply by somebody, it's like getting a very deep cut. It's got to heal from the inside out. A paper cut heals overnight, right? Usually. But a very deep cut has to start healing from the bottom up in order to have good healing, and that takes time. And so, you know, listen, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our, what? Trespasses or debts is, you know, same word. As we forgive what? Well, okay. So God takes forgiveness seriously, and we ought to also. And then, you know, he goes on. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish. What does admonish mean? Well, yeah, it's correction. Yeah. All right. As you teach each other through what? With all wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God, not us. Wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now listen, whether you like singing or not, I'm going to put it this way. If you don't like singing, get used to it. Because you're going to have a voice in heaven that's going to surprise you. And you're going to use it to praise the Lord. And God gives us the gift of music to encourage us, to refocus, sometimes to convict us. And sometimes it will drive us to our knees in confession. I came across this article. I want to read this to you. You know, many of you know who Bill Gaither is, right? Bill and Gloria Gaither. I'm going to read this to you. This was it comes from a man by the name of Tony Cummings, who has had interactions with the Gaithers. He says, anyone who has heard Crowder's version of Because He Lives, right? Or been ministered to by the renditions of Michael W. Smith, Matt Maurer, or has launched into the stirring chorus Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, All Fear Is Gone. We'll have little doubt that the song is a modern worship classic. Though maybe they might quibble over the word modern. We'll talk about that in a minute. Excuse me. Indeed, the song written in the 1960s by Bill and Gloria Gaither is referred to on many websites as a hymn. As the most important figures in development of the Southern gospel music, the Gaithers have, of course, written numerous songs which had been performed by the majority of Southern gospel big hitters, country acts like the Statler Brothers, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley. But of the 800 plus songs that Bill wrote the music for and Gloria put the lyrics to, it is Because He Lives, which has probably impacted the most churches around the world. Gloria was written, has written about the circumstances which led up to the writing of this timeless classic. She says, quote, "I am a wife and mother. It was in the middle of the upheaval of the 60s that we were expecting our third baby. The drug culture was in full swing. Existential thought had obviously saturated every area of our American thought. The cities were seething with racial tension, and the God is dead pronouncement had jiggled its way through our educational system. On the personal front, Bill and I were going through one of the most difficult times in our lives. Bill had been discouraged and physically exhausted by a bout with mononucleosis. And in that weakened condition, he had little reserve to fight the psychological battle brought on by some external family problems. Someone whom we've had cared about a great deal had hurled some accusations at us and at the Fellowship of Believers and the whole idea of the existence of God." Now listen to this. "Because He Lives. It was on New Year's Eve that I sat alone in the darkness and the quiet of our living room, thinking about the world and our country and Bill's discouragement and family problems, and about our unborn baby. Who in their right mind would bring a child into this world?" This is what she was thinking. "The world is so evil. Influence is beyond our control. It's so strong. What will happen to this child? I can't quite explain what happened at that moment," she says, "but suddenly I felt a release from it all. The panic that began to build inside was gently dispelled by the reassuring presence that engulfed my life and drew my attention. Gradually, the fear left and the joy began to return. I knew I could have the baby and face the future with optimism and trust. It was the resurrection affirming itself in our lives once again. It was the life conquering death in the regularity of my day." And thus she wrote, "Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow." You realize one of Satan's biggest ploys for born-again believers is to get them discouraged. I think discouragement is probably the most powerful tool Satan has, and he'll capitalize on that. He'll capitalize on that. So Paul says here, look, "I want you to let the message of Christ, the word of God, dwell richly among you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms." You realize the psalms were songs, correct? Hymns. Now, they didn't have "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" back then, but they had their own hymns, right? Songs from the Spirit. You know what they call that? Those songs today? Praise songs. Singing to God with what? Gratitude in your heart. You know, that's the key. Whatever songs we sing, if we can sing with gratitude to God, it's great. It's great. Isn't that right? While we're on the subject of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," Martin Luther, the great theologian, really the spearhead of the Reformation, I think I told you this a couple of weeks ago, but he actually took a bar song and wrote new words to it. Why did he do that? Because people knew the bar song, right? And he penned the great words, "To a mighty fortress is our God." Now listen, I want you to be honest here. I like all types of music, you know that. You know, I love some of the doo-wop. I know some of, you know, the 60s music and stuff like that. I've played classical music. I've played in pit orchestras for plays and stuff. I like all types of music. Now, you know, and there are people around still to this day who won't come to church until the music's over. And I feel bad. And the reason why I feel bad is because God uses music in powerful ways. That's why we do a cantata. Because sometimes the gospel can be conveyed through music even more powerfully than preaching it. You remember songs. That's the bottom, right? I mean, you know, I'll test you. Don't tell me you have a bad memory. I don't buy it, all right? Unless it's a physiological issue or a medical issue, I don't buy it. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Was what? Thank you. Right? That's from 40 years ago. I don't know if Tommy ever heard that. Have you? Yes. Okay. Yeah, I pan it, right? All right, I'll give you an old one, too. A little dab will do you. So don't tell me you have bad memories. Yeah, I mean, you know, you got Oscar Mayer with the jingles, and you have, you know, the prettiest girl I ever saw. Excuse me. Was drinking Hoffman out of a straw. Remember that? I don't even know if Hoffman still makes soda. Don't shake your head, Janine. What? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I want to be a Toys R Us kid. So let me ask you a question. When life gets tough, and life gets tough, right? When life gets tough, does music uplift you? All right. When life is going well, that's when usually the lyrics of a hymn or praise song or the Psalms will convict my heart that something has to change. I need to confess something, repent of it, right? Music is so powerful. As an experiment yesterday, I hope I can find this. Kristen, I may need your help here. Now, I'm trying to find a post on Facebook where I ask people to respond. Hang in there. You know, I use Facebook, but I have no idea of how any of this works. So. Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. Here's what I sent out on Facebook yesterday. In preparation for tomorrow's worship service, would you name one of your favorite hymns or praise songs and why you like it? Okay? I'm gonna read to you some of the responses, if I can get them. Okay, Melissa, Blessed Assurance. Isn't that great? I mean, here's a young person, and she says, this very old hymn is special to me. This is my story, this is my song. Those are the words that impacted her. I'm going to embarrass Anna Freddy. A mighty fortress is our God. We just talked about that, right? All right. Gail agreed with Melissa. Somebody who I ministered to after her husband died wrote the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessing. Nancy Moffitt in the garden. And he walks with me and he talks with me, right? Kelsey and Kristen, because he lives, right? Okay. Amazing grace. Another, a mighty fortress is our God, from a fellow pastor. Vicki Williams, some of you may remember her from Emmanuel. I had her in Sunday school many years ago. The old rugged cross. Right. There's another young lady I ministered to for a lot of years. She says, "How great thou art." Right. And then Janine, "It is well with my soul." We played it this morning, right? "It is well with my soul." Yeah, these have special meanings, but realize also for many of the good hymns, they have stories behind them, just like the Gaithers. Right, most of this is written out of the pain of life, and it's meant to encourage each and every one of us so that we can teach and admonish one another. That's why gathering together is important, because as we sing together, this is happening, right? We need to give up this whole idea. Realize that the style of music is a preference. Some of you like hymns, some of you like praise songs, some of you like combinations of both, and you know, some of you like loud instruments, some of you don't like loud instruments. Those are preferences. But listen to what I'm going to say. Psalms, full of good theology. Why? Because God wrote them through the Spirit. Okay? There are good hymns and bad hymns. There are some bad hymns with bad theology. All right? We don't do them. But there's many, many with good theology. And that's why I try to include them. You start singing songs in church with bad theology, it's not long before the church starts to go off the rails. Songs from the Spirit, which we call praise songs. Many good ones. Some bad ones with bad theology. And we, you know, the music people and I, we go through them to make sure that we're giving you the best that we can. And, you know, saying that, listen, every hymn was new the first time it was done. Just because someone puts out a new song doesn't make it bad, because it's not in a hymnal. All right? I'll tell you what's in the new hymnals. We don't use hymnals. But what's in the new hymnal is "Shout to the Lord," you know, "Darling Check," because it's based on good theology. I think "Worthy is the Lamb" is going to make it into the hymnals, and we got to get rid of these impressions that, you know, only the hymns are sacred, you know, only praise songs are sacred. We know the Psalms are sacred. Now listen. God's always, always inspiring people to use their brain and write new stuff. And if they write it with the right heart, because they love Jesus, and include good theology in it, God honors that. He doesn't honor our bickering. I have a relative in the family who has been to church a couple of times, and he says, "I like your preaching, but can we do less music?" Yeah, you know who that is, right? Can you do less music? And my answer to that is no. You know, the sermon, it really isn't the pinnacle of the worship. Everything we do in a worship service should be on a high level. The songs, the prayers, the sermon, the benediction, you know, that always should be on a high level. It grieves me. I don't know what else to do, to be honest with you, but it grieves my heart when people who are able to be here don't come, because they're missing out on this. And they think they're okay, and they're not. Because it's only a matter of Satan saying, okay, you're out of the fellowship. Let me influence you with this. See, you don't need that. Yeah, let me influence with you this. You stay away from church 1 week, you might miss it. Second week, you still might miss it. By the time the third week comes, it's like, it's okay, you know. And we fall into these patterns. After, I guess it was the Monday morning after the snowstorm, I was going down Lacey Road, and there's a gym on Lacey Road on the right-hand side. I mean, tons of people came out. Tons. This is right after the snowstorm. Tons. And yet churches remain at 30%. Music is important. It's important enough to God for him to inspire Paul to write this. It's important. When Chip walked in this morning, I was playing different renditions of the Hallelujah chorus from Flash Mobs, right? And there's one, it's Westfield Town Mall, Town Square they call it, in Valencia, California. And the Flash Mob came in, and the mall's packed. Christmas time, packed. I'm sure this was pre-COVID, but although I think it would still be packed. But it was packed, and they start singing the Hallelujah chorus. I'll show you how far the church has come. It was expected that when the Hallelujah chorus was either sung or performed, that people, out of respect, would stand. We're singing about Jesus Christ, who's here. And he deserves our respect. He deserves our respect. I'll wrap this up before we go to communion. So let the message of Christ, which means you need to be in the Word, right, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, should underline that, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, we need to do with a grateful heart. Whatever we do, we need to do in mind, is what I'm doing now bringing glory to my Jesus? Or would he be displeased? We got to do that every day. You know, Joshua said it this way: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to make you a challenge, okay? Here's the challenge. If you want to do your some self-study here, go back into the Old Testament. Whenever God sent Israel into battle, you know who he sent first? The choir. He sent the choir first. Why do you think that's the case? I think there's two reasons: to encourage the military who are going to fight this war, that God is in this, okay? And secondly, to alert the enemy that the God you rejected is now coming. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The choir went first, not the military. Military followed. If God didn't think music was important, that would have never happened. So I have a complaint department in my office. Some of you have seen it. It says, if you have a complaint, press here. And it's a mousetrap. It's rigged so it won't go off. But you understand what the thrust is, right? If you have a complaint, press here. If you have a complaint about the music, press here. We got to grow up and realize that we all have our preferences. We all like what we like, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to give grace to people who have slightly different tastes, slightly different preferences. And what we do is we try to accommodate all of them. Even in a sermon, I try to craft it, if you will, so it reaches the oldest. There's nobody old here. But it reaches the oldest to the youngest. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. What I'd like to do before we go into the communion table, and Sharon's not here, unfortunately. I hope she listens to this by Facebook. But would you give a round of applause for appreciation for our music and technical people, please? So Sharon, I hope you heard that in sunny Florida. And I hope if you listen to the message that it encourages you. God is good. And all the time. I'm going to ask if I can get two people to serve communion. We're sticking with the self-contained. Okay. So as they pass it out, I'm just going to remind you of the instructions Paul gives. Paul says in Corinthians, I am passing on to you what the Lord passed on to me. He says, before you partake of the Lord's table, a man, a woman ought to examine themselves. Examine themselves. Well, examine themselves for what? For unconfessed sin? For a spirit of unforgiveness, if you know, towards somebody else? We need to have self-examinations and be very specific and very blunt before Jesus and say, Lord, I need to repent of this specifically. Or, Lord, I'm having trouble forgiving so-and-so. I need your help. The one thing about the Lord's table is not for perfect people. It's for sinners. And it's the place where we can experience release. In Daniel, those of you who were in Sunday school this morning, Daniel was agonizing in prayer. Gabriel came to him to explain the vision that God gave Daniel. And he says, I experienced a release. Listen, sin keeps us imprisoned if we don't confess it. Unforgiveness chains us to the other person if we don't confess, if we don't forgive. So Paul says, let a man, let a woman examine themselves. So would you take a moment for self-examination? This is between you and God now. And confess anything that would need to be confessed. And ask God to help you not to do it again. And then we'll partake of the bread. Before we take the bread, I want to give you one example of how God used music in my life. Many years ago, Walt Healy up at Grace and Peace invited our praise team and the congregation to come up for a night of praise and to participate in it. So there were praise, we brought our choir up. There were choirs and praise teams from the tri-state area. And you know, at the end of it, Walt asked me to share a message, which I did. And you had every style of music back then. You had the very loud, you had, you know, you had the hymns, you had so much. I mean, it was really good night. But near the end, a Mennonite choir got up. Many Mennonites don't use instruments in church. All right? They got up, and I'm sitting there saying, what could they possibly do without instruments? Right? I'm a musician, right? What can they do without instruments? They started singing, and you could hear a pin drop. There was no mistake that God was in the house. They got the biggest standing ovation that night because you could tell they were singing from their hearts. It was not a performance. They were praising God. So God kind of smacked me in the rear end. If I could put it that way, say, see, you think you know everything? I'll show you. It was wonderful. Jesus used the bread as an illustration. Illustrates the body that was his body that was broken for us, for our sin. He says, take the bread and eat it and do it in remembrance of him. Would you eat, please? I'm always afraid of these cups. The cup of the new covenant. In the theological roundtable this week, I asked Pastor Fuji, he's also a lawyer, would you explain, since you're a lawyer, the difference between a contract and a covenant? He said, sure, I'd be happy to. A covenant involves two parties. Each party has to live up to their part, correct? That's a contract. When you sign a contract with a car dealer, he gives you the car in return for what? Money, right? In return for money. If you don't give money, you ain't getting a car, right? And if you give the dealer money without a car, shame on us, right? That's a contract. A covenant is totally one-sided. It's all of God by his grace. That's why marriage is not a contract. It is a covenant. Thank God, because if it were a contract, I would have broken it so many times. Because he never breaks his word. But it's all by his grace. That covenant needed to be ratified in the blood of a perfect sacrifice. And that was Jesus Christ. He says, when you drink of this cup of redemption, it was called in the Passover, do this in remembrance of me. Would you drink, please? Okay, men, if I can wait upon you for the fellowship fund. And I'll ask our praise team to come forward, please. Thank you for all of you who participated in responding. I'm going to keep that post on all week long. I would love to hear from you if you haven't responded, okay? So if you would do that, that would be great.
Give me just a second. Sharon would be playing by now. Sharon, where are you?
Let's pray. Father, would you dismiss us in the power of your Holy Spirit? Thank you for the gift of music. May the music we listen to edify us, encourage us, admonish us. And Father, let's not be selfish about it. Help us to sing with each other so we can experience the power of music together. And so, Father, help us this week to choose every day that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
God bless everybody here. Have a great day. In Jesus' name, amen.